Let's just pray. Our Heavenly Father, we say thank you for today. We bless your name. We say thank you for an opportunity like this. We thank you for your children that you have blessed us with. We thank you, Father Lord, because they are for signs and wonders, Father Lord. As they start this year, Father Lord, we ask that you go with them, Father Lord. May they learn new things that will change their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. As we hear your word, Father Lord, I pray that your children will be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Take the glory, take the adoration. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. We only have about 30 minutes, and I hope that God will speak to each one of us. Hallelujah. There was a man that was called Li Ka-shang. And Li Ka-shang, in 1940, left China and went to Hong Kong at the age of 15. But then his father had died because of tuberculosis. And he started working for 16 hours. That is from 6 in the evening to about 10 p.m. every day. He was working in a plastic manufacturing company. And as he was operating the plant, he started learning how to operate that plant. Now, he started saving money. After saving money, he started reading about business. Hallelujah. And as he was reading about business, he decided to set up his own plant. And he started setting up his own plant. And what they needed then was plastic flowers. He learned the trade of mixing colors to create beautiful flowers. Now, he's 96 years old. And as 2023, he was the 33rd richest man in the world, worth $37 billion. Hallelujah, $37 billion. Out of that, he has given about $4 billion out back to charity. Now, what did he have? He had nothing. He ran from a war. His father was late. All he had was the tool of his trade, what he learned in the plastic company. And what I'm talking about today has been laid on my heart as the year was running through. And it's a question that each one of us needs to answer today. And that is, what is that in your hand? Hallelujah. What is that in your hand? And that's the question in 30 minutes' time, you should be able to answer. And God will lead us aright. Now, we're going to go look into a scripture, Exodus 4, verses 1 to 5. Exodus, we'll just go on. We'll take a deep dive into that. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. Because of time, I'll read it. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to me, my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Praise the Lord. Now, God will provide a mission for you and a destiny for you. I believe all of us have that in our lives. Whether you have discovered or not, you have a mission on earth and you have a destiny on earth. And one thing I know is that God will supply you with what you required to achieve that, physically and spiritually. He will make available resources for you to fulfill your destiny, regardless of the person. If you look at the Bible, God has used uncommon people, okay? Unlikely people to do extraordinary things. Pick it from the Bible. Moses is a typical case. He had nothing. Esther, what did Esther have? All Esther had was her beauty. She was a fine lady. Am I correct? But then she got access to the king and she did wonders for that. Gideon was fine in a wine press, hiding away. All these were uncommon people. Now, one from this scripture we read, when God asks a question, he's trying to refocus your mind. I think God was a Nigerian in that particular tense. Nigerians, we ask questions. I'll look at Brother Sheka. Are you okay? Pastor Francis, are you okay? You know what I'm saying? There are two different meanings. Brother Sheka will look, I'm fine. When Nigeria say, are you okay? It's like, something's wrong with you.
Or Nigeria will say, who sent you? I get what I'm saying? And you will say, oh, Pastor Abraham sent you. And when I look at Pastor Francis, I say, who sent you? I'm trying to say he deserves what he got. Hallelujah. And that's what God is coming here, is asking Moses, what is that in your hand? Does God not have the understanding? He's omnipotent, he's omniscient. He knows everything. But then he's asking Moses that to make a focus on what Moses was supposed to answer. And Moses answered a rod. And that gives me our first point, the available. What is that that's available? I don't have too many slides. I'm just going to tell you, we're going to talk and just pick points from that. To Moses, it was just a rod. But one thing about that rod, it represented his identity. That rod meant he was a shepherd. Are we together? It represented also his income. He was tending for his father-in-law. I don't know how much the father-in-law paid him, or is this the right price? I don't know. But that was his income. It also showed his influence by holding that staff. Am I correct? And that's why you see sometimes royalty, you see them holding sticks, isn't it? It's showing their influence, whatever they have. There's no beast that will come near if you're holding a staff. I come from another part of Nigeria. We had herdsmen, they're called Fulanis, and you see them with sticks, and they hold it at the back of their heads, and they're moving around like that. Am I correct? Up to today, you see them in the bush running around with that. That shows the influence of what they're guarding. Now, to the Egyptians, that was insignificant because no Egyptian wanted to be a shepherd. It was despised by them. But that's what God was pointing to Moses. That same rod became the rod of God. It parted the Red Sea. It brought water forth and so many things. That simple wooden rod. Now, if you also go further in the Bible, when Elijah met the lady that what they had, they only had a jar of oil. That was what was available, but it provided for them. I don't have time to go around those ones. Now, the thing that God wants to use most in your life has already been in your hands for a long time. I want us to understand that. The thing that seems weakest or uncommon in your life is what God wants to use. Are we together? You might think this is insignificant, but God's saying, I can use that in your life. I want you to understand, there's no human miraculous intervention from heaven. After creation, God did not create any other thing. He only made things from the available. Go and check the whole Bible. After creation, even man was made from what? From sand. Woman was made from his bone. When Jesus turned water into wine, it was water. It was already available. But nowadays, we hear everybody say, invention, invention, invention. Invention is only the discovery of creation. That's what it is. If anybody invents anything, it's just that he has discovered creation in a different format. It's just to be able to use what we have in our hands. Now, you'll find out that God used what was not available for public use. To Moses, it was a staff. Gradually, the world got to know the power in that staff. And I'm saying to you today, you might think it's insignificant, but the world will know what you have as you go into this year. Hallelujah. There's power in what you have. That's number 2 point under available. There's power. Fast forward to Samson. Judges 15, 14 to 16. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the robes that were on his arm became like flax that is burned with fire. And his bones broke loose from his hands. He found the fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I've slain 1,000 men. Hallelujah. That was what was lying wasted on the ground. He picked it up. And there was power in that jawbone. There's power in what you have in your hand. I want you to understand, what God has entrusted into you, there's power in it. Whether in the spiritual realm, if you're a prayer warrior, there is power in it. If you're into hospitality, there's power in what you have. I'm talking about spiritual. Even secular, you have understanding what you do in the work. There's power in that. But some have everything in their hands, but they're not using it. Am I correct? Some have everything in their hands, they're not using it. Some of us in life, and I think a lot of men, you work hard, you save money, you put it in the bank. Is that working for you? No. Maybe the bank will give you a little bit of interest. But most of the people that have multiplied, they made sure that money worked for them. I was talking about Lee Kashang. From the plastics company, he did not stop there. After he made his profit, there was a time there was a crash in Hong Kong. He started buying houses at a cheap price. By the time it went up, he sold it. He made more money. But a lot of us have things in our hands and we're just lying it to waste. A lot of us have talent to use in God's hands, but it's being laid to waste. And God is asking today, what is that in your hand? What talent have I given you? What are you using it for? As you enter 2025. The second point is the obedience. When God shows you that available, action is required. And the action is obedience. Hallelujah. The extent of your action will determine your blessing. Are we together? In Elisha, when the woman did not have oil, they asked her to go and borrow from the neighbors. She obeyed. If I was the one, I would have filled this whole place with jars, isn't it? The way you obey God is the extent that you'll be blessed. When God has given the available, obedience is required. It's not what you have in your hands, it's what you do with it. Am I correct? It's not what you have in your hands, it's what you do with it. They obeyed, they brought the jars, what would you do with it? If I pick a basketball now in my hands, it's useless. I put it in LeBron's hands or Michael Jordan, it's something else altogether. Go to football. A ball, I can't even kick a ball for the life of me. I cannot even kick a ball. But give it to Messi, he'll do wonders and he'll earn millions of dollars. Same football, height of skin. Same, but in different people's hands. You have to get yourself off yourself. Stop looking at your limits. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you find the story of Elisha, even after the miracle came, she came back and told him, hey, this is what we have gotten. Even when Jesus fed the 4,000 or 5,000 with the loaves and fishes, they said, this is what has come on, this is what has come back. They came back and gave it to God and said, hey, this is it. You go back to God and say, God, this is what you have given me. And when he blesses you, you bring it back and say, God, this is what you have blessed me with. Now, what have I said? That God will make the available. That's number one. Didn't you? But what he requires from us is obedience. Some of us, God has been talking to us for years to get involved in something. But fear is gripping us. In the secular, some of you have a blessing, you have a talent, but you're afraid to step out. Even in ministry, God has asked us. Some have been in ministry and have left. It's time to come back. You know what I'm saying? Because God has entrusted it to you. It will work. You might see limitations, but you need to press on. Hallelujah.
After what Moses saw, did he see other limitations? He saw a lot. There was a lot of opposition with Pharaoh. But he overcame all of them by the grace of God. And that leads me to the next point, is the trust. Are we together? Praise the Lord. In all of this, God was trying to focus Moses to what he wanted to do. Don't forget, if you go to the chapters before, he had already told Moses everything that was going to be happen, up to the extent that the Egyptians would bless them. But he needed Moses to focus on the path there. I needed Moses to surrender. We'll not know the full potential of what we have unless we surrender it to God. A staff, a shepherd will not want to let go of his staff or let it go. It's like a military man. The worst thing you can do is to let go of your arm. There was a commandant of a barrack one time, and he had a very important thing he used to do. I mean, he used to wake up at night. He was a commandant, and he would go through all the guards. His name was General Bamayi then. I think he's late now. And he will go around, and if he's able to steal your firearm, you're going to be court-martialed. He got a couple of people. So there's a new recruit. He heard about this general that does that. And he got ready for him. One of the rounds, the general came in. And he stole his firearm. He was trying to take it. He grabbed it. He hit the general. Started beating the general. This is the other ranks. And the general was like, defender, I'm general so-so and so. He said, no, you're a thief. He knew it was his boss. But he wanted to send a message to him. So imagine, Moses there with his staff, but God asked him to drop it to the ground. He surrendered it. Whatever God has blessed you with, you have to surrender back to God and say, God, this is what you have given to me. How shall I use it? God will not use what you don't want to let go. Whatever you're not going to let go, God will not use it. And one of the most difficult things for us to let go is what? Church? What's the most difficult thing to let go? Your money. Hallelujah. Yes, your money. God will ask you to leave your money to help to the church and whatnot. That's one of the most difficult things. If not your immediate family, it's hard for you to let go. But whatever is precious to you, you have to let go to God. Some of you have to let go of your children to God. Some of you is your spouses. You have to commit them to God. And one of the things also I love about this portion of scripture is that God kept Moses in a place where he could speak to him. Moses was a prince of Egypt. He could have left Moses in Egypt, in the palace, and spoke to him. But he got Moses away from all distractions. He married Jethro. It didn't happen in Jethro's house. It happened in the bush where he was tending to flocks, an unpleasant job. You might be in a place where you feel that, where is my life? Where am I at this rut? What is happening? But I'm telling you, God is speaking to you. Sometimes he has to take us there for us to realize what he's talking about. If you had turned that rod into a snake in the palace, Moses could have said he's a magician. Didn't it? But it was one-on-one. When he asked Moses to remove his shoes, his holy ground, it was just him and the bush. There was nobody else. So sometimes God will take you to somewhere just to catch your attention. But you just have to say, Lord, I'm listening. I surrender to you. And what happened? When the rod became a snake, what did Moses do? He took off. An 80-year man, he didn't stretch his muscles or anything. He ran off. Understand this? He ran. I don't think there's anybody that's 80 years here. Okay. Our papa is not here today in church. But anybody else, is nobody that's up to 80 here. Am I correct? But this one, he ran away. Some of the things that God will want to do in your life, you want to run away. But I'm telling you, don't be a Jonah. Stay there and see the power of God. Don't run away. Some of you have reached a point, I cannot do it anymore. It might be a family circumstance. It might be a financial circumstance. I can't do it anymore. Don't run. There's an end to it. But the funny thing is also, and I think God is very humorous. He said, catch the snake by the tail. Who can catch a snake? Someone ran away and they asked him to catch a snake. And you catch a snake by the tail. What happens when you catch a long snake by the tail? It can come back and bite you. That's why they say if you're going to catch a snake, you catch it midway, isn't it? Maybe if it's a python, you can try the snake, the tail. But you have a cobra, you catch it by the snake. And most likely, historians say this was most likely a cobra because that was what was available at that time. But the thing that surprised me about Moses is he did as he was commanded. Someone that was fearful caught it by the tail and it became a staff again. Are you willing to trust God to do the unlikely? Are you willing to trust him? That's my question to you. Are you willing to trust him if he has spoken? Because whatever is available will surely work. It will surely work. It's left for you to be able to trust him. Hallelujah. Now, of what benefit was God asking him to grab that stick? It was not for Moses' benefit. Are we together? It was going to be used later on for the benefit of who? Pharaoh and the children of God. What God is asking you to do is for someone else's benefit. It can be family. It can be others I don't know. But it's mandated what God's going to do in life is to bless someone else. I keep on saying this, whatever God has blessed me with is not for me. It's for me and those around me, especially in the body of Christ. Whatever God's going to bless you this year is so that you'll be able to bless someone else. Li Ka-shang, giving $4 billion back in charity. God's laws do not change. Give and you shall receive. That's why at 96, he has lived a full life and he's still one of the richest men. He has given back. Hallelujah. Now, you saw this staff, and I want you to understand this. The staff turned into a snake, and then it turned back into a rod. Now, look at your lives. What is the impossible thing that you think cannot be changed around? And that's what takes me to the next line. I'm not here to just talk and go. I'm here to challenge you. What is your call to action? Look inwards. We're beginning the year. And wherever you are, open your pens, open your tablets, and please take notes. One, what is that in my hand? What is that in my hand? Look at it. Don't look at me, please. If you're writing notes, what has God blessed you with? One thing I believe, nobody in this church does not have a blessing from God. That's my call to action to you. That's my challenge I'm throwing to you. What is available to you? What are your strengths that God has given you? You can partition it into your secular or into your spiritual. And as I'm speaking, because I know God is going to do something new in 2025. Amen. But you have to know what is in your hand. Some of you are looking at this, the reals that's coming to you monthly. Is that all that's in your hands? That might not be all that's in your hand. Number two is to pray about it. Let us pray over what God has put in our hands. Are we together? We need to pray. God, you have blessed me with this. How do I apply it in my life? How do I go forward? The excuses Moses was giving were just excuses for him to get out of it. But at the same time, it was a kind of a prayer. Lord, how do I go? And one thing I love about God in this story of Moses is that he took Moses step by step. All the miracles in front of Pharaoh, Aaron walking with him, they were all there together. That's because he committed his fears unto God. God has promised he will walk with us to achieve what he has entrusted in our hands. But we just need to put it in his hands. Now, one thing I know, whatever you have entrusted in your hands, it will always come out better. When the rod became the rod of God, who was using it? It was Moses. He did not need God anymore to come and tell him what to do. Maybe God would tell him, okay, stretch out your rod. He'll do it. He became more confident. He grew confident in what he was doing. Some of our challenges might be different things. Some of our destinies might be different things. It might be a family situation. It might be something else. But God is calling you out to walk with you, to take the step, one step at a time. If only you will trust him. Number three, which is most important, you have to be ready to trust and obey him. Opportunities come, and some of them leave immediately. But whatever opportunity you have to be able to trust God that come, he has a plan. We come here saying, trust and obey. Isn't that what we come and do? But do we implement it in our lives? You might have a spouse as an unbeliever. Are you able to trust God and obey him to the end of the process? You might have a child that's giving you difficulties. Are you able to hold on to God and trust him to the end of the process? You might have a child that is not married, but God has told you your child will get married. Are you able to hold on to God and walk with him? I think, I'll say this, the challenge we face is to value our so-called ordinary talents and our so-called ordinary lives and see beyond the ordinary to the extraordinary ways in which God can use us to accomplish his purpose. We need to look beyond that. My ordinary life, my ordinary self, and look beyond it. I keep on saying the story of Michael Phelps, ADHD, boy bone, long arms. He was hyper, but he found himself in a pool of water. And all that energy was channeled to what? To swimming. I don't know the number of medals he has now before he retired. I'm here to tell you, your life is not ordinary. Your life is not ordinary. God has planned something extraordinary for you to achieve in this life, if only you allow him. When God was asking Moses about the rod, he was shifting Moses' mind from what he did not have to what he had. All the excuses Moses gave was what he did not have. And God was trying to tell him, hey, you have a rod in your hand. A wise man said something. A wise man said this. Sometimes we overestimate what we can do, what we don't have. Understand this. We overestimate what we can do with what we don't have. But underestimate what we can do with what we have. If I have 1 million reals, I'll do this for the poor. Am I correct? But God has given you 10,000 reals, and there's a poor man there. You cannot do that. Are we together? So we cannot overestimate what we will do with what we don't have. And to be honest with you, it might never come. But God's asking you, what is that in your hand? He will multiply it. Loaves and fish, 4,000 fed. Kegs of water, enough wine at a wedding. Let us not look at our shortcomings. Praise the Lord, this year. Let's look at the extraordinary. Hallelujah. Because I believe this year, 2025, God is going to do marvelous things in our lives. Amen. But we have to look inwards. So I'll conclude by saying, get ready. God wants to use us to accomplish his purpose in 2025. Just look inwards. God bless you.
Church, you have been called to action. You have been asked to write it down and get ready. God wants to use you. He has said in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you authority. God has given you authority. Write it down. He will never disappoint you. So what is that thing in your hand? Let us be on our feet as we bring the service to an end. Father, we want to thank you and bless your name for wonderful service we have had before you this afternoon. We give you all honor and adoration. We glorify your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for the gifting to the children. Thank you for your word that we have heard. We glorify you, Lord. Lord, we have written it down. We trust, we obey. We make ourselves available. This year, we are ready to serve you. We are ready to be useful in your kingdom. Father, grant us the spirit that will lead us, that will direct us in the path that we're able to know exactly what you have given to us. That talent that you have given to us. The spirit that interprets it to us. Father, endow us in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, Almighty God, the boldness to be available. The boldness to do what you want us to do. Lord, you will grant us in the mighty name of Jesus. Peradventure, you don't know what is in your hand. And I pray right now, God will give you the spirit of the discerning spirit for you to know what God has placed in your hand to be used for his kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for your son that you have used for us this day. More anointing in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that you will reload him more with fresh anointing so that we can receive and hear more from him in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless him, bless the work of his hand, bless his family in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray for each and every one of you also that the Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. The Lord will use you mightily this year in the mighty name of Jesus. That talent that God has given unto you, that God will give you instruction on how to use it in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God. We want to appreciate you for our member that have traveled, that have returned. And at the same time, we remember our member that are not here. We use Pastor Abraham as point of contact. That, Lord, you have seen them safely to wherever they have traveled to. And they shall return with testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. And for the rest of this week, our program, all are in your hand. Take control in Jesus' name. And let your name be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. As we go into this week, let your presence go with us in Jesus' name. Everything shall favor us in the mighty name of Jesus. And next week, we'll come with testimony in Jesus' name. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Shall we share the grace together in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Do have a wonderful week ahead.